Hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show. Jerry will be joining us shortly, and I really need to hear from you because this is a really, I think, a fun but enlightening topic we're going to be talking about today, and that is, if you could be one biblical figure, who would you be? So pick a biblical figure and share with the world what person you would be. Okay. Also, too, yesterday we had an abundance of calls, and I invited especially Gloria from California to call back and finish her story because I felt so badly that we got cut off with time. And Gloria is calling in, so I'm so grateful to her because I prayed all last night that she would call back. I felt terrible about it. So she's going to share her story. And that's yesterday was about the Blessed Mother, obviously, with the Immaculate Conception. Today is the Feast of St. Juan Diego, which is so incredible. In fact, this whole week is really, really revolves around the Blessed Mother. So it's wonderful to be talking about these stories where we are impacted by the Blessed Mother and also the biblical figures that we read about. And that's what we're talking about today. If you could be one of those biblical characters, who would you be? Okay. And the number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. On this Feast of St. Juan Diego, I actually go, the parish I go to is St. Juan Diego. So I really love this week. And I have to tell you, last night my husband went to Mass in the morning. I went to Mass in the evening because of the radio shows. And when I was so excited when I was pulling into the parking lot, it was packed in the church. At the church parking lot, outside in the vestibule area, in the actual main part of the church, it was packed. And what was so beautiful is it was 10 minutes before Mass, and families were actually running. I'm not joking. I've never seen this before. They were running towards the church going, hurry, we got to get there. Our Lady's waiting. And it was just so beautiful the way you could feel the love they had for Our Lady. It was incredible. And they were running into Mass. And I've never seen that before. I thought, wow, something has definitely changed in this world. It's incredible. So it was so beautiful to see standing room only all the way out into the patio area of the church. It was incredible. And everybody was there worshiping together as the people of God. And how beautiful that is on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So that was our show yesterday. We had jam-packed lines. That was great. Gloria is waiting to get on. She's going to finish her story. Let me give the number. Today is about biblical characters. Which one would you be? Who would you want to be? 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3988. 86. Don't have to be Catholic to call in. Everybody's welcome. We have Vanessa on the controls today doing a fine job. Matt on the phones and Rich on social media. I'm waving to you. Jerry will join us shortly. Let's get to Gloria right now because I want to have her recap a little bit from yesterday and I want her to finish her story and I want to give her ample time because she waited most of the show to be on yesterday. So Gloria from Los Angeles, California on the EWTN app. Thank you so much for calling back. I prayed all last night. I said, I pray Gloria calls back because I felt so badly. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you.
You go right ahead. You have plenty of time now. And if we have to hold you through the break, you can stay with us. You have plenty of time. You go right ahead and please tell your story.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Of course, I was calling yesterday because I wanted to honor our Blessed Mother for what she has done for me. About 20 years ago, I lost a 30-year-old son suddenly of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was a shock and because it was so sudden, unexpected. And I felt very guilty. My prayers then changed to, there were just questions to the Lord, why? Why did this happen? Why did you take my beautiful son, precious son, away from me? And I felt like the Lord was punishing me for something I had done. So I had this guilt for the longest time. It was years. Until when I believe it was maybe Easter time. It was Good Friday in church. And someone said something like, can you imagine what the Blessed Mother was feeling at the foot of that cross, just looking up and watching her son bleeding to death. Just, there was nothing she could do. Mm-hmm. There was no way they would let her get near him or help him. And she just there watching him. And they, someone said, could you imagine the pain she was in? And I had been in pain. I'm sorry?
No, you go right ahead. I'm welling up with tears. I can't. Go right ahead. Keep going, Gloria.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just felt that, pardon me, I knew that that pain that the Blessed Mother was in, I felt like yelling and saying, I know that pain. I'm in it now. I know exactly. Of course, I wouldn't dare compare myself with Blessed Mother at all, but I felt like I knew what she was suffering, and I wanted so badly, I wish that I could have been there to hug her and comfort her so that actually I felt like I would get comforted also, right, that we would cry on each other's shoulder, because that pain is so, it's indescribable. And so the Blessed Mother somehow changed my prayer, not to a why anymore. It was, thank you, dear Lord. She made me see that it was not a punishment to take my son away from me. Mm-hmm. It was a gift that the Lord had given me when that child was born. He was such a beautiful, precious son. And the Lord actually gave me a gift. And I'm so thankful that he gave me, even for that short time, mm-hmm. he let that beautiful, precious boy come into my life and my family's life. And he made such a difference. He was a special person. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was too young to die. But the Lord, the Blessed Mother,
Gloria, can you hold it right there, please? I'm so sorry. The music just came in right on cue. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. Let's continue this because we want to honor your son today and this beautiful story of you getting close to the Blessed Mother. Please stay with us. Everyone else, please call in. This is your show today. Today about biblical characters, biblical figures that you admire, that you look up to, that you maybe would want to be. So if you could be one biblical figure, biblical character in the Bible, who would you be? Please call in 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Tom, hang on. You're going to be after Gloria. We have room for you if you'd like to call in. Think about it for a moment. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. We are speaking with Gloria and California, who's sharing her beautiful story about her 30-year-old son that she lost suddenly 20 years ago from a heart attack. But she was learning how it spiritually transformed her. She saw a different understanding of all of this, of being a parent and having a child and what it means for loss, and aligning that loss and that pain with the Blessed Mother and the loss that she felt when she was at the foot of the cross. It is really a powerful testimony, and I want to continue with Gloria in just a moment. But let me just remind everybody quickly, talking about Our Lady, there's a novena to the Mother of God for our nation. Novena to the Mother of God for the nation provides prayer that challenges us to a deeper conversion to Christ and a more generous life of charity. With these intentions in mind, we will turn to Mary and meditate on the graces of her life. It's available at EWTN.com/novena. Gloria, thank you for waiting through the break. I'm so glad you hung on. And before I want you to continue, and I want to just make a quick comment, but before you do, I brought the prayer book out. Can you give us your son's first name? Because we pray for the living and the deceased.
Yes, thank you. His name is Mark.
Mark, okay. And was he your only child, Gloria?
No, he was my only son.
Your only son.
I have two daughters.
Okay, you have two daughters. And like I said, when the show ran out yesterday, Gloria, no parent should have to bury their child. But what I think you learned and what you grew through with the, all of this, you know, sadness and loss of your precious son. And he sound, I could tell by the way you were talking, he sounds pretty remarkable. What you gained spiritually. And so have, since the passing of your son 20 years ago, have you remained close to the Blessed Mother? I'm curious because usually people that find this kind of, if you will, enlightenment or awakening or an understanding or a depth of getting closer to Our Lady and Our Lord, it usually continues to grow. Has that continued over the years?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very much so. I used to think that the Blessed Mother is just someone we prayed the rosary to, you know, just someone you prayed to the rosary to. But I learned through this that she is my mother. She is our mother, our Blessed Mother. She is the most kind, the kindest, most loving mother. We can't imagine. We can only feel it. It's hard to describe, but we can only feel her love through something that comes to you. She lets us know that when we need to know it. Mm-hmm. But my devotion to her has grown. I see her now as if she were a person. She was alive here, and she's part of me, part of
mm-hmm. So before we let you go, I wanted to thank you again for calling back. You may or may not have been aware of this, and a lot of people I know have heard parts of this, but not the whole message. I don't know if you've ever read, and that we have it on EWTN. You can just go to EWTN and type in, what did the Virgin Mary say to St. Juan Diego? But I don't know if you ever heard exactly what she said, and it goes so much in line with what you just shared about the Blessed Mother. And if I may, I know I shared it earlier this morning when I was on the morning show, but I wanted to share it again. It's very powerful, and it really relates to all of us. Now, obviously, the Blessed Mother was talking to St. Juan Diego, but we can put ourselves right in that, in what she said. But I wanted you to hear this, Gloria, and see if you relate to this. When the Blessed Mother appeared in 1531 to Juan Diego at Tepeyac Hill, this is what she said. "My son, I love you. I desire you to know who I am. I am the ever Virgin Mary, mother of the true God, who gives life and maintains its existence. He created all things. He is in all places. He is Lord of heaven and earth, and I desire a church in this place where your people may experience my compassion." Now, here's so much how we can relate to her. "All those who sincerely ask for my help in their work and in their sorrows will know their mothers near this place. Here I will see their fears, and I will console men, and they will be at peace." And then she goes on to say, and this is so much for us, "Know for certain that I am the perfect and ever Virgin Mary, mother of the true God. Here I will show and offer all my love, my compassion, my help and protection. I am your merciful mother, the mother of all who love me, of those who cry to me, of those who have confidence in me. I will hear their weeping and their sorrows, their necessities and misfortunes. I will listen and let it penetrate your heart. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anguish or pain." And then she goes on with the famous line, "Am I not here who am your mother?" And then she continues, "Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of the mantle, in the crossing of the arms? Is there anything else you need?" You know, I was thinking about this morning, Gloria. She said this in 1531, and it is relevant. It is important to us today. And it sounds like you have run to Our Lady. You get it. You have grown in your, and she has totally been compassionate and can relate to what you've gone through with losing Mark when she lost her son, right? So the two of you are really close. And I just wanted to just confirm what you're saying and how important it is that we bring our Heavenly Mother into our spiritual life to help us get through anything that is really going to bring us down. And the loss of a child, that can surely take us down. Anything you want to say to that, Gloria? I don't know if you've ever heard of the full message that she gave to St. Juan Diego.
Not the full message, but I heard some of it. But that was beautiful. That was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We have to think of her as real. She is real. You know, I don't know how to explain that. It's just something I guess you have to experience it personally.
Well, yeah, that's the beauty of her. It's our spiritual mother. She's there for us individually as our spiritual mother, the way she is with you. And then she's with us together as we are all together, a collective, we are her children. And the beauty of her work that she does with us and her care and her compassion and the fact that anything we fear, it says here, you know, do not fear any illness, anguish, pain, sorrow, anything. Because as our mother, she's there for us to really help us get through it. Gloria, I'm so grateful to you that you called back. And I, again, you know, our hearts, I started welling up because I have two sons, and I tell you, to think of losing one, it started to make me shake. And I will tell you, Gloria, you have to be a strong woman and a strong mother to be able to endure that. So I just wanted to say, again, we're grateful to you that you called back. Thank you for trusting us with this beautiful story. We have Mark in the prayer book, and it is a beautiful story because you have grown so much closer, and you have to imagine if Mark is allowed to hear his mother talk about him around the world, that you are speaking so highly of him. I mean, it's so beautiful. You have to imagine all of heaven is smiling this today.
Thank you, Debbie, so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Call us anytime, and God bless you, and have a beautiful rest of your Advent. Many blessings to you and your family. Thank you. And I wanted to say hello to Jerry. Jerry, are you with us? Okay, so we're connecting with Jerry right now. We'll bring him on shortly because I wanted to see if he had any comments about this incredible story from Gloria, and we thank you again. Okay, we're going to move to Tom, and we're talking about biblical characters, biblical figures that you would maybe want to be, or you're interested in, or you find intriguing. And Tom from Lake Forest, Illinois, on Sirius XM 130, Tom has a favorite biblical character. Tom, take it away. Welcome.
Hi, folks. Merry Christmas, and God bless us, all of us.
Thank you. Thank you. You go right ahead.
That story from Gloria. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Wasn't it
that
amazing?
That is so off the scale.
You
Thank
know
you,
what,
Gloria, for sharing that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I found so beautiful with Gloria is that, you know, she went through all the emotions, right? You know, the sadness, the sorrow, you know, going, why, God, you know, am I being punished? But then she was able to get this bright light that was able to pierce her, to penetrate her heart, just like Our Lady said to Juan Diego, you know, listen to all these things and let it penetrate your heart. She says this right in the message to Juan Diego. I will hear you when you're weeping and your sorrows, the necessities and the misfortunes. Listen and let it penetrate your heart. I mean, that's exactly what she did. What an incredible mother to be able to take that to the next spiritual level. I agree with you, Tom. Thank you for sharing. I hope Gloria is still listening. So you go right ahead. Finish. Tell us the biblical character you want to highlight today.
Everybody in the church, or even our separated Protestant brethren and all that, because that packs more punch than a W-83. Hmm. Look it up what that is. But anyway, my favorite biblical character, about 30-some years ago, I was still all over the map Protestant, and I went to this huge church outside of Chicago. And the summer theme was the prophet Elijah. And it says in the book of Kings He was a man just like us. Mm-hmm. Not to put down the other prophets. I mean, Elijah and Jeremiah got murdered, I believe, for standing up and prophesying for the sake of the Lord. But Elijah was this normal guy who got picked for the craziest, most irrational kamikaze mission of any prophet. Go to Ahab and Jezebel, who had reinstituted all the evil practices that other prophets had railed against so vociferously, and says, "All right, the Lord God is sick and tired of your abominations. No rain for 3 years." And then he goes up to Mount Carmel and says, "Okay, 850 of you versus one of me. Let's make these two sacrifices. You guys call on your gods, I'll call on mine. The one that responds, that's the winner." So there are these prophets dancing on this altar, cutting themselves with swords and spears and screaming like maniacs, and nothing happens. And then Elijah gets up and says, "Lord, you know what's going on. Make yourself manifest." And the whole thing disappears in a giant flash of flame. All the prophets of those false gods get massacred. And you would think Ahab and Jezebel would, I think we better get our act together here. Instead, they take a contract out on Elijah. He runs out in the desert for 40 days, and he hits bottom. And he says, "Lord, I've had enough. I'm sick and tired of living. Pull the trigger on me." God didn't do that. He restored him. He kept his ministry going. And then Elijah became one of only one other human being in history, as recorded in the scriptures. Enoch and Elijah never tasted death. God snapped them up into heaven, and that was that.
Wow, you know your story. That is amazing. Well done, Tom. I love that. You got that. That really kept me interested. I want to hear. I know Jerry just signed in with us. Jerry, are you with us? Did you hear Tom's story about Elijah?
I did. Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I've always loved that story.
Me
and,
too.
You know, it goes to show, you know, what do they say? God plus one is an army, you know, and with the Lord, he is always on our side, and he certainly was with Elijah in that situation. So, yeah, I've always loved that account.
Yeah, and you know what I love, Tom, the way you shared it with us. You had such a connection and an enthusiasm behind it, especially when you said, you know, and he did not die. I mean, you were just so passionate about it. I love that. Were you always interested in the Elijah story, or is it something that you just stumbled on and you were like, wow, this is really cool?
This came in back in the 1980s. Now, here's a real crazy thing. When I was much younger and a stone atheist, my favorite saint was Joan of Arc. I mean, there's another, you know, Mission Impossible, so to speak.
Right.
You know, rally the French people against the British and throw them out. And the Hundred Years' War, read Barbara Tuchman's book, The Distant Mirror, The Calamitous 14th Century. Barbara Tuchman was a historian who got the Pulitzer Prize for her book, The Guns of August, about the beginnings of the First World War. And this is a medieval history about the 14th century, the Black Plague, the end of the Crusades, the Hundred Years' War, all that stuff. I mean, it was a hideous time to be alive. And yet, like I said, when I was a stone atheist, I thought Joan of Arc was the greatest thing in the world. So maybe that's one little thin strand of Kevlar that the Lord had attached to me and wasn't going to let it break no matter what.
Well, I think it goes to show, Tom, that, you know, we're all drawn to strong characters, male, female characters. You know, even if you weren't a believer at the time, and yet here you looked at a great Catholic saint as someone who really inspired you. So thanks for your contribution to the conversation today. Christina is coming up. Then we have Lydia. We're talking about if you could be a Bible character, which one would you choose to be? Maybe during their life now, or you could kind of relive that. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for listening. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher, and Debbie Georgiani is with me, and we have more calls we're going to get to here momentarily. We invite you to join us. If you could be any biblical character, Old Testament, New Testament, who would that be? A male, a female, a great saint, maybe someone who struggled to do the will of God but overcame great challenges. Maybe it was one of the Holy Family. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And before we go back to the calls, I want to congratulate two more EWTN radio partners. Sports Faith International, serving Northern Illinois with two stations, is celebrating 12 years with us this week. And KYRE 104.1 in Mansfield, Texas, celebrates 11 years. Congratulations to Angela Tomlinson and her team at Sports Faith International, and Joel Rodriguez and his team at St. Jude Catholic Church, from your friends here at EWTN.
Okay, so if you could be one biblical figure, who would you be? Please call in. You don't have to be Catholic. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Matt is ready to answer your call. We're going to go to Christina, Jerry, in Dallas, Texas, on our friends at Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Christina. Tell us what character you would be.
Oh, I love that story in the Bible where Jesus healed the 10 lepers and only one came back to thank him, the Samaritan. And I want to be that Samaritan.
Aww.
I want to be that one. Because I was, but the joy, you can just imagine that he felt. I want to just come back and praise God and just the thankfulness.
I love that. I never would have thought of that. That is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just really... That just hit me as soon as you said, what would you be? I never thought before. Which character would I be in the Bible? And the other thing I wanted to say, what you said this morning, Debbie, that you about St. Juan Diego.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I only had three children initially, and I was really closed off to having any more. And I had a conversion experience. And then I had two more children after age 40. And today is the birthday of the child who's turning 24. When I was 40, and I desperately wanted him to be born on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and we missed it. But then I just found out in the past year that, no, historically the Feast of the Immaculate Conception was on December 9th, and when she appeared to St. Juan Diego back in 1531, it was celebrated on December 9th back then. So she appeared to him on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Wow. Wow. And then you just heard me read the entire message of when she appeared, which a lot of people don't go into, which I hope that folks do, especially today with this being an important day for you and your family with your son's birthday. I put him in the book. Can you give us his first name? Happy birthday to him.
Oh, yes, please. Please pray for him. His name is Carl Antonio, and he just joined the Marines, and he just finished the first school, and he's going to the next training. And oh my gosh, my husband and I served in the Air Force. Our parents served in the Army. My brother was in the Navy, but this Marine thing has blown my mind. I had no idea what he is and what they go through. And
that's beautiful.
I am just near tears because. Aww. Of these young men who are willing to give their lives for our country.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're very brave. Very brave. God is raising, and folks are rising up that are very, they have a strong interior core. You can feel it. As if you live long enough, you can see it. And that this younger generation is coming in very strong. And so we're very blessed, and you're blessed with that, with your son. Please thank him for looking into the military and wanting to join. That is huge. I have a lot of Marines in my family, so we're very proud of the Marines.
Mm. A funny story about St. Juan Diego. So when he was 8, he wanted to have Juan Diego on his birthday cake. And then I said, should we get you a pinata? What do you want? He said, the Blessed Virgin Mary has a pinata. I was like, no, 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 no.
Yeah. Well, just a quick comment, Christina, from me. I love your heart, you know, and it just shows what a deep heart of gratitude that you have. And it's a great witness, a great testimony to all of us, you know, that you said you would want to be the biblical character, the one leper out of the 10 who were cleansed that went back and thanked Jesus. And I think you alluded to how great, how happy that would have made Jesus too, because you know he does all kinds of things for us. And I know I'll be the first one to admit, you know, I let so many blessings pass without really recognizing them or thanking Jesus for them. But I'm going to take away your call and your comment today and really ponder and meditate on this, because I know I need to be more grateful in my life. So you've really done a favor for a lot of us here on the program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay,
yes,
thanks.
Beautiful. So I have to tell you, when I was thinking about biblical characters, I really thought I wanted to be, like, I thought Mary Magdalene. How cool would it be to travel with Jesus, to be part of his ministry, to be the first to announce, you know, the resurrection, to be there so closely with Jesus? But then she had a rough start in the beginning before she before she started, really walking and traveling with Jesus. So I thought, okay, maybe not. Then I thought Elizabeth. You know why? Because how cool would it be to be Elizabeth, right? And to be a relative, we know obviously the connection with obviously John the Baptist, right? But here's the cool part. You make it into the rosary, because Elizabeth's in the rosary. So do you ever think of that? Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
So how about for you, biblical character for you?
Well, yeah, I was thinking a lot about this. I think King David, you know, and a lot of people would probably relate to him, you know, just because, you know, I want to have a heart after God, you know. I want to be a man after God's own heart, I should say, as King David was. And, you know, I want my sins and mistakes to not, you know, be the things that define me, you know, but the obedience to God and the faithfulness and just all of the psalms that he gave us and the great leadership of the people of God. So I think somebody like King David, because, you know, it's not just a story about virtue. You know, there's a little bit of vice thrown in there, and, you know, so all those things we can relate to, so.
Right. It's so interesting you said that, because initially I thought of David too, because my husband and I binged watched the 2 seasons of The House of David. Did you see it?
No,
amazing.
I didn't.
Amazing. Now, I will tell you, it's not theologically completely accurate. It's not, but it is incredible. It really gets you to fall in love with the biblical character of King David. Amazing. So yeah, I would agree with you, Jerry. And, yeah, it's just fascinating. Now, of course, we're getting some messages, you know, how come you're not mentioning Jesus and Mary? Well, of course, the biblical characters, Jesus and Mary, of course, that's an obvious. So we're talking about the other characters in the Bible. Okay, so Jerry, let's go to Lydia in Midland, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Welcome back, Lydia.
How you doing? Good morning. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I love angels. And I would love to be Angel Raphael, to go around the world healing people and holding their hands when they're sick, not feeling good. And I hope one day I can be the helper, because I really would love to do that.
Wow. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, what's beautiful, Lydia, is we can actually do that right now, you know, and God gives us all the opportunity, gives us opportunities every day, I think, to be healers, to be people, to be messengers like the angels were and are, you know, to be messengers of God's good news and of God's healing. So I think we can do that. And you're the type of person who I know is doing that, Deb.
I totally agree. And Lydia, you remind me when Padre Pio, you remember before Padre Pio died, he made the comment that he could do so much more on the other side. His work would really begin. A lot of saints said that, because there's just so much we feel like we can do here. But in all honesty, Lydia, every time we show up, every time we are faithful, every time we talk about God like you're doing right now, we are doing the work that God wants us to do. And so it may seem small. It may even seem sometimes insignificant, but it's not. It's not. It's all part of the plan. So I agree with Jerry. You're doing it right now, Lydia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so sweet. Because everywhere I go, I always tell people, Jesus is with you. God is with you. The angels are with you. All you have to do is stay close to the church, and you have it all together. But don't give up, because that mean old devil wants you to not to have faith. And you got to tell the devil, And just say a prayer. Just say, God help me, Jesus help me, and the devil take off running.
That's right. That's right. Lydia, yeah. You're awesome. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation today and adding to it. That was just beautiful. You know how I feel about anybody that adds and they mention the angels. It just warms my heart. Yeah.
Well, we got time. We got several more on the line, but we got a line open here. Time for you to get on this discussion today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. If you could be any character in the Bible, who would that be? If you could have, you know, gone back and been that person and played that role, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. All right, let's talk to John in Chicago, watching the video on YouTube today. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Debbie. It's so good to see you.
Nice.
I was thinking when I heard the topic today, and it surprised me what characters that I would want to be from the Bible. And they're actually women. Not that I want to be a woman, but I like the characters.
Right.
There was one where, and I don't think either of these ladies had names in the scripture. There was one where a lady was ill and said, the gist of the story is, I'll be healed if all I can do is touch his cloak.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a crowd. Jesus was surrounded by people, and she was able to touch him, and he immediately knew, who touched me? And she was healed because she, you know, had enough faith to even try to ask, even without words, and he healed her. The other one was when the woman was ready to be stoned because she was committing adultery. She was a sinful woman. And the famous quote from the story is, it's nobody here to judge you, but he without sin cast the first stone. And Jesus said, they don't accuse you, and I don't accuse you. Go forth and don't sin anymore. He forgave her.
Yeah.
And I want him to do that with me.
Amen. Yeah, I
love
do too.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we get it, John. I mean, I thought of David too, but I mean, obviously I don't want to be a guy, and I thought of David just from what they exhibited, what they modeled for us. You know, their faith, their courage, their strength, their faithfulness. And I agree with you, John. But again, you know, both those women in the Bible, they had pretty rough lives. They started off in a rough way, which I know that so many of us can relate to. But that's one of the reasons why I kind of shelved Mary Magdalene. I thought I was a little too hard of a start. And I certainly don't want to be like beheaded or anything like that. So that wouldn't work for a Bible figure. But what do you say to all that, Jerry? Because I totally agree. The woman that was hemorrhaging, I mean, to touch his garment, and it was her faith that healed her. I mean, these are powerful, remarkable stories of incredible depths of faith that people in the Bible have had. And they're real stories.
Yeah, you know, just the story of the woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. You know, sometimes we think it has to be this dramatic, you know, come to Jesus thing, and Lord Jesus, I'm sick, or I'm ill, or I need a healing in this area of my life. And, you know, but all we have to do is just get close enough to him, just to touch his clothing, you know, and that's Jesus is willing to impart great miracles, great healings, you know, even if we just show that amount of faith. And the woman caught in adultery, I love that because, yeah, in the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, you know, she would have been stoned to death. And I love it, what you said, John, you know, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. You know, I those are words to put on your tombstone, maybe, you know, your grave marker. Neither do I condemn you. Those would be beautiful words from our Lord to hear. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
John, anything else you want to share with us?
Just another thought that occurred. You know, my favorite Bible story is the wedding feast at Cana. Where
me too. Mm-hmm.
Jesus listened to his mother, and if she can help with such a minor problem, having wine run out, and then he converts and makes it the best.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me want to pray to Mary so much more. If she has that influence and something in that small way, and he helps her.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I think we're hearing a theme, you know, in many of these calls today, and that is the humanness, you know, the humanity of all of us, the weakness, the sinfulness, and so forth, combined with God's grace and mercy to raise us up above that. And so, yeah, we are definitely inspired by these biblical characters. And John, that was a great contribution to the show, brother. We appreciate you joining us here on Take Two today. I'm going to just mention something real quick here, Deb, if you don't mind, and then we'll get
absolutely
back to it.
Absolutely. You go right ahead. And then would you please read Oscar's? We got a wave to Oscar on YouTube.
Yeah,
he has
sure.
He has a contribution to the discussion.
Well, EWTN's Podcast Central, a lot of us like to listen to podcasts, especially when it comes to our faith, and there are many of them out there, and they're all located in one great place, EWTN's Podcast Central, and another one is called Anchored in Hope. It's a weekly podcast devoted to bringing hope through the good news of Jesus Christ. Father Larry Richards helps you discover the reason for your hope, and you can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world at EWTN's Podcast Central. Just visit EWTN.com/podcasts today. And yes, Oscar is watching on YouTube along with a lot of other great folks there. Oscar says, now if I were to embody a biblical figure, I would identify with St. Peter. His journey from a simple fisherman to a prominent apostle marked by both unwavering faith and human fallibility. His leadership and pivotal role in the early church, the early Christian church, demonstrate a profound commitment to spiritual guidance. So there's another
that
example.
That was well
Deb.
Said, Oscar. That
yeah.
was amazing.
But
that
yet
really
another,
captured
another
it.
Example of the you know, Jesus choosing the weak and making them strong.
Do you know what you were saying earlier about the theme, the underlying theme? I think we're all trying to be accepted. You know, we know that we've made mistakes in our past. We know we don't want to be defined by that. You said it so beautifully earlier in the show, Jerry. And I think that's the beauty of these biblical characters, that they have shown that they didn't come from these perfect, you know, holy or just so holy existence. And then they were elevated. No, they were like us. They made mistakes. They did sinful things. They did silly, stupid things, and they did harmful things to themselves. But God raised them up because in the interior of them, he saw something that they were willing to die for this cause, like St. Peter and the other apostles. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you look at the biblical characters. I don't know if we spend enough time really diving in. So I'm so happy, Jerry, that you put this on the calendar.
Well, and so we tend to look at these men and women and we say, yeah, they were sinful, but look at what they happened to them. Well, yeah, we can say, yeah, but look what can happen to us as well. You know, we sometimes get kind of mired in our own sins and down on ourselves and thinking, you know, God can't use me. He can't use me for any great purposes or plans, but he does. He has a great plan and a purpose for every one of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And it's
that.
One that only can be filled by each one of us individually. So,
mm-hmm. Amen to that. So let's hear what Carol has to say from Northeastern Pennsylvania on the EWTN app. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I have a lot of favorite people in the Bible, but Esther's one of my main favorites. She is just so awesome. She was so brave, and she was not ashamed to be Jewish. I just admire her so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great character to pick. What do you say about Esther?
Well, I remember, you know, Esther's where, you know, the book of the Bible where it says, for such a time as this, you know, mm-hmm. she was raised up for such a time as this. And again, getting back to the purpose and the plan that God has for each one of our lives, Carol, glad you brought up this Esther and we know of the book of Esther in the Bible, because every one of us, we can think about, you know, it would have been great to have been alive, you know, like we're talking about today, a biblical character in, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of years ago. But God has us here for a purpose right here, right now, for such a time as this. And we can certainly take the example of Esther and all these other biblical characters that we're hearing about today as good inspirations and motivations for all of us to really seek the Lord's purpose and plan for our life and to live that out as robustly as we can.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, Carol?
It's wonderful to call in, and I enjoy the topics. I really do, but this one was one I really had to comment on because it's just so wonderful to know that people will stand up for what they believe in no matter what, and that's what she did.
Mm. Yeah, she did. And, you know, that's what we're all called to do, and we can do that. We sometimes, a lot of times we think that we're not going to be able to, you know, persevere in God's call, but it is all his grace, his divine grace that helps us be able to do that. So thank you, Carol. Appreciate you participating in the conversation today. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie talking today about if you could be any biblical character, who would that be?
And Cheryl on YouTube said, I would truly love to be Monica, the person that tried to give Jesus a drink of water on the road to Calvary.
Okay.
Wow. Beautiful. Oh, we have to wave to Cheryl.
Yeah. Okay, Cheryl.
Okay.
We're going to go to Patricia in Daytona Beach, Florida, where I have my home parish of the Basilica of St. Paul. Patricia listening on Sirius XM 130 today. Hi, Patricia.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You
Good.
Would like me to go ahead and mention my
Sure.
favorite biblical character
Yes.
and one I'd like to emulate. Mm-hmm. And I would say the saints in the Bible. One that's not mentioned in the Bible but is an important saint, as well as Mary giving me this wonderful example of being there for the those that are mentally ill. Saint Daphne. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly. Sorry about that. I'm in my car. Don't know if I'm saying her name correctly.
You mean Saint Dimphna?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. There you go.
And her father was mentally ill, and he ended up martyring her, and she is a saint for those who are mentally ill. And I think often in our society, we are not looking at someone with mental illness as having a real illness. We think it's in their control, whereas the truth is it's a chemical imbalance of the brain, and it's not in somebody's control. You can't just say to somebody, stop doing that. Because it's not something they can stop themselves. They need help. They need medical intervention. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for our society today, especially when suicide rates are so high, and I lost my daughter to suicide, that we look at these suffering people. And I know Mary walked with my Sarah, my daughter, so often during her times of pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at these people who are suffering as truly suffering, that it's not their choice, it's not how bad they're behaving, it's their sickness. And it's not someone to be blamed for something they have to live with that people don't understand or even make fun of.
Well, let me just jump in real quickly, Patricia. I just want to let you know we put Sarah in the prayer book, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yes.
So we are incredibly sorry for your loss. Our hearts are breaking. But, you know, Patricia, I don't know how often you listen to the show, but Jerry and I made a commitment long ago that we're not big on labels, because labels, there's stigmas around labels, and there's also judgment and all sorts of things that are going on social media that are very negative. And Jerry and I have always tried to address mental illness as a brain health issue, because there's got to be more education for people out there to remove that stigma, to remove the badgering that happens with people, because you're absolutely spot on. You know, when people are struggling with brain health issues, you know, they're not wearing a label around their neck, you know, with a shingle saying, hey, I've got a real illness. Please have compassion, have mercy, have understanding, you know, try to get to know me better. Don't just see maybe some of my actions. You know, we have to do a better job at educating people, because I think it's just so tragic that we quickly sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes people will label and they will dismiss and they will reject. And that's the worst thing we can do to people, because the people want to be accepted. They want to be loved. We all do. We all do. And so we're right with you, Patricia. We take this very seriously. Jerry?
I cannot add a thing to that, Patricia. What do you think about what Debbie was sharing? It really is something that we feel very passionately about here.
Good. Good. I think if we set our intention to love somebody that we have in our lives who is struggling with mental illness, it's a good intention that they can feel that someone really cares about them.
Absolutely.
And it's just the little things that we do that make a huge difference. In the way people get through every day when they're suffering tremendously. We can't even comprehend some people's suffering.
Yeah. No, I have a phrase I like to go back to, and it's attributed to various personages. I'll just use the phrase right now, and that is, everyone you meet is engaged in a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. And having been down the road of depression myself a couple times in my life for about a year each time, and Debbie, I think we can empathize and definitely, you know, it is a very, very serious thing. And it's not, there's no blame to be placed here at all, really. Mm-hmm. And so
we appreciate what you had to share, Patricia. Thank you so much. And we're again, sorry for your loss. We've got Sarah in the prayer book. Woody, a first time caller from Texas, a big fan of Titus. I wish we could have talked about that, because I used to belong to St. Timothy Parish, and we talk a lot about Timothy and Titus with St. Paul. So I would agree, Jerry.
Well, I want to thank you, Take Two family, for making it another impactful broadcast. You are awesome. And I want to thank the show team today. Screener is Matt, producer Vanessa, social media was Rich. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. Tomorrow's broadcast is a special one with our special guest, Susan Tassone. We're going to be talking about the topic of purgatory, often misunderstood, but something we need to know a lot more about. So until then, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. We'll talk to you soon.